You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday afternoon, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro, who's the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. We had a bit of a day on Friday, and I was talking about this to a previous commentator this morning. A bit of a volatile day on Friday. Today, of course, is a holiday in the United States of America, Labor Day, which signals the end of the summer. Yeah, exactly. And people are celebrating that by going out on beaches and not observing social distancing. It's an interesting time, isn't it? Because there have been a few shots across the bows for the bulls, haven't they? And I wonder what you make of that.
I'm still trying to fathom out what the option market means and how it unfolds. I'm getting a feeling today that this is not going to end too recklessly. I would have thought that there would have been quite a severe sell-off. You know, and that's maybe my history coming into play, where markets run up as fast as they have, where it's based on option trading, where it's based on speculation, and then it unwinds. You know, and I could have lived with it simply because there've been massive gains. But I get the feeling that this is just withering away. I know Europe is up today. Yeah. The rest of the market is up. I've read two reports today from quite meaningful commentators. I mean, people with reputations. And in both cases, I've got to read the one here. It says, in our view, bubble or not, the bull market in stocks is unlikely to die anytime soon. With a broad monetary environment staying hyper-stimulative, the stock market boom will broaden out. The mega-cap growth names will stay inflated, while the lagging sectors will eventually catch up.
Where does that come from? The Economist or the FT? What publication was that?
This came from a place called Alpine Macro. Now, if you know BCA, these are the chaps who worked at BCA and broke away for various reasons and started their own place. And they tend to be ultra-conservative. Chen Zhao is the global chief strategist. And, you know, we're getting at the moment I'm on, we're trying out their service. UBS have come out with a similar view today. You know, UBS, I'm just trying to think, I wrote it down here. Ample Fed liquidity and continued economic recovery, as well as the potential for positive news on vaccines and stimulus, you know, kind of translates into stay invested. You know, yes, they admit that you might want to take a little bit of profit. What they've said as well, this is UBS, whom I respect immensely. This is in Zurich.
Yeah.
They said what normally happens is you, at this time of the year, you can get a 10% correction, but after that, it kind of recovers 20%. So I'm saying, okay, now I'm not going to argue. I was feeling very uncomfortable on Friday, you know, and you start to count the pennies and you say, well, where is this going to go? So, Lindsay, it's and the action, the price action in Europe today says, no, the bulls are still there. Where Mr. Masayoshi's son is going to be and what he's going to do, I'm still trying to figure out. And I wish I had a better understanding of of derivative markets and how they constructed and how they, you know, play out and where they're going. But it's I just take it, you know, I'm just watching it at the moment.
In simple talk, just buy the dips because there's so much money around and will continue to be cheap. Money will continue to be free, so just buy the dips. It's simple.
Exactly. It seems to be that. You know, I would have thought there would have been, after Thursday, Friday, I thought there would have been another day of selling. There would have been a little bit of scare in the market. And, you know, who knows what that can do. But it doesn't seem to have had too much of an impact. You know, I'm looking at the gold price as well. And those are the indicators you look for. Okay, if everybody's panicking, gold's done nothing. 1930, not doing anything.
Yeah.
Platinum price, none of those prices are doing. Oil's come down. Why? Because I think the Saudis want to pump out more money. Stocks in Europe are up at 1.7% today. You know, I'm talking the euro stocks.
I know, and I'm looking at the US futures. These are massive, massive moves. Is it to do with Brexit? Is it to do with corona? God, no. I don't know. It'd be bad news on coronavirus, bad news on Brexit, and yet these markets are shooting up. Obviously, thin conditions. So the people that are left at the desk and are not having a long lunch because of the Labor Day holiday, which is what we always used to do. We used to go out to lunch when we had these American holidays when I worked in London. But I find it extraordinary that the European markets are doing so well. I wish someone could explain it to me. So obviously, you're not the person.
No, I'm as confused as anybody else.
Yeah.
I'm invested. I've remained invested. And when people have asked me what the situation is, I take the view that tech is still going to dominate the global environment in the next few years. We're still going to use Facebook. You know, these are platforms. And I'm saying I can't, you know, it's too difficult for me to read what's going to happen in the next few months. To be honest, I was already warning clients, okay, just be careful. We're going to get a correction. I'm not going to take you out simply because next year, the year thereafter, things are going to improve. You know, we're still going to use technology more so than we're going to drink beer or smoke cigarettes. 5G is coming. It's going to be a game changer in the next 3-4 years. I'm staying the course. You know, so I'm kind of just protecting myself, protecting my downside. And the thing with this, Lindsay, is when it doesn't want to go down, you begin to question yourself, well, where do we put ourselves? Do I commit new money now? You know, am I comfortable to commit new money? The old clients, when I say old clients, I mean clients that have been there for some time in the market and have built up a bit of profit. That's easy. You know, that's fine. But where they haven't been there, where you're coming in for the first time, it's a very difficult, you know, you've got a question, am I doing the right thing? I'm playing around with people's pensions. You know, that's it. I'm playing around with their savings. So I've got to have the confidence to do what I'm doing.
Well, you're not playing around. You don't play around, no. David. You're a long-term investor and you're a conservative investor and you stick to the principles that you learned 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Some other people are playing around. And that's why when I started a conversation about 45 minutes ago with somebody, the NASDAQ futures were down 1.05%. They're only down 0.5% at the moment. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it really is. No. People are playing around, and unfortunately for the Bears, they have this brief day in the sun, and then the clouds come over again, and the Bulls start to take the rain. It's unbelievable. It's by the dips. It's simple.
Yeah, it is. Now, what I'm saying is, if you take a man like Masayoshi's son, now I liked him originally. When I say originally,
yes,
when I first looked at the business, I thought here is a one man Silicon Valley.
Right.
You know, he's got billions of dollars. He's picked some really top companies that he's invested in. You know, from Alibaba was one of the big ones, and a lot of other ones. Some of them are gone wrong. And then he just seemed to be wandering off track, going all over the place. And I said, I don't know what he's going to do next. You know, I liked where he was. He was the Alibaba. His Alibaba exposure was very underrated or valued in SoftBank. You know, we were doing okay. Then I said, no, I couldn't understand what he was doing. I said, I'm switching out of SoftBank into Alibaba. You know, I'd rather have Alibaba, which I know what, you know, I know the company. And when I look at what he's doing now, it's kind of wild. He wanted to start an asset management company.
Just explain this. What's happened with SoftBank? SoftBank shares plunged more than 7% on Monday, wiping out roughly $8 billion in value. As investors, it says here, reacted to reports that the Japanese conglomerate has been making massive bets on major tech stocks. So in other words, it's not a bank now; it's a trading desk.
Totally. Absolutely trading. I don't know what the nominal value is of the bets that he made, meaning the underlying value. You know, of course, when you go into options, it's geared, so you don't put all the money down. So it could be $30 billion. It could be $40 billion. We don't know what the underlying value of that is. That's big. Now, if you're going to put that into Facebook and Amazon, and you can do a lot of damage, you know, meaning you can shift that market. And
do you think that the reason that the market has gone sort of parabolic recently is because of these massive orders and also people getting hanging onto the coattails of Masayoshi Son? Do you think this is it? And if it runs out, once the money runs out, then is there a vacuum? The people that have hedged against writing those calls for SoftBank, they have to obviously cover themselves, and they have been covering themselves. So there could be something nasty going on here.
That's what I would have imagined. that's my thoughts. That's why I'm giving the warnings and say, look, let's be careful. Just see where this runs out. What happens is if you buy an option, the man who writes the option has to take cover. He's got to insure. He might say, well, look, there's only a 30% chance that I'm going to have to give you the shares, so I'll take only 30% of what you've given me. You know, if you bought an option for 1,000 shares there's a 30% chance, I'll only buy 300. And then suddenly it starts to increase and it's gone to 40%, 50%. You keep buying, and as you buy these massive amounts of money, these massive amounts, you're pushing that share price up, and it builds on itself. Why? Because the momentum traders say, oh, look at this. You know, the share price is going up. I'm going to take the ride. So it drives itself up, you know.
The company bought roughly $4 billion worth of options tied to underlying shares it had earlier purchased in tech firms. So it already bought the shares. Then it decided, well, let's gear up a little bit here now with some derivatives. And it's bought Amazon, Microsoft, Netflix, according to the Wall Street Journal, citing anonymous sources, of course, which if you're Donald Trump, you don't believe. So if you gear it up, maybe 10, 12, 15 times, that's $50 billion worth of exposure. So the banks that have written the options and granted those options have to then cover that, which explains everything. So now the buying has stopped, if it has stopped, then it's very simple. That's what we saw last week, a little bit of a blip, and maybe some more to come. But the underlying fundamentals are still good. I think it'd be fantastic if the market came down 20% so that people could get in again, because these businesses are fundamentally very good.
That's my thesis. That's what I'm thinking. I don't want it to go 20%, but I could live with 10, 15, or 10, you know, around there.
Well, let's call it 20.
No. You see, I know why? Because that's how I make money. Clients, you know what I said? I don't know who I was talking. I said, the fun in the olden days, and I'm talking many years ago, clients would get a statement.
What do you mean the olden days? Olden days? Well, what, with horse and cart days or Cortina?
In the 70s and 80s
Ford Cortina
and 90s.
Days.
Pre-internet.
Okay, go on.
So in those days, you'd get your statement sent once a month and it would arrive in the post, and clients would look at it and say, oh, not a bad month, not a good month, whatever it is. Or alternatively, they would listen to the radio every night where someone on the stock exchange read out the prices, you know, one after the other. Now what happens is clients value their worth on a minute-to-minute basis. It's there staring themselves, you know, in the eye all the time. Shares go up, shares go down. They can see the path of their wealth. And what happens when it goes up, they always pitch to their wealth from the highest point ever reached. That's it, you know, which was, I think, after Friday or two ago, whatever it was. And now as it comes down, they see that as a loss. They don't see, oh, where did I start this adventure? At what point? You know, they only see profits and that. So they like only to ratchet up. So that's why I'm saying when you say 20% down, no, I'm not going to live with that one.
20%. Get ready for it. I'm short the S&P. It was interesting you talk about the way that we communicate and the way that we receive news. I was watching Fawlty Towers the other night on Dutch television, and the major who comes down and he gets the newspapers from the newspapers are delivered and he reads the newspaper. And I'm watching a T20 match between England and Australia yesterday, and I can see everything that's going on. Whereas the major opens up his newspaper and he says to Fawlty, boycott scored a century yesterday, but he's only found out the next day. He's not watching it on television because it's not on television. He doesn't have a radio. It's amazing how information is disseminated so instantaneously, isn't it? That's why we're so volatile. Anyway, we're standing really, really old. What are you seeing in the South African market at the moment? That Click story was quite interesting, wasn't it?
Look, it's a nasty advert.
It is.
The advert, you know, is tasteless, and I'm not sure how it ever got through. There's some things that corporates do that, you know, they deserve to have some kind of backlash, etc. I don't know what the consequences were. I'm not a great person who believes in violence. I don't like to exercise any frustrations or anger by you know, bashing down windows and looting stores. That I'm dead against as well.
Of course.
But you know, from Click's point of view as well, it's just unlike them. You know, it's not something that I believe. I don't know who conceived this advert. It's a Unilever company. I don't know whether it's their idea, but it's a nasty episode.
Seven of South African retailer Clicks' stores are damaged in protests over racist ad. Yeah, there could have been a better way to do it, but obviously the EFF and other
I can't people. Comment. But,
no.
Yeah,
no, you can't do that. No, you must. That's barred. Okay, here we are on the second Monday of the month. It's Labor Day in the United States of America. What do you think? September and October, a little bit dodgy, and then after that we get a little bit better as we go into, gosh, of course, election time, election season, which is going to be quite messy.
It's quite interesting to see what's unfolding as well.
Yes.
I see that Biden's picking up in the polls and that, and I think Trump's come under a lot of criticism for these remarks that he made in 2018, you know, and I mean, if you're a military person or any way associated, that you will, you know, it's rather unfortunate that he made these remarks, but you need them to be justified, but it's costing him, you know, it's you know what, Lindsay, I subscribe to Hulu. Hulu. I watch movies on Hulu. And what happens to quite a few things, you know, quite a few of these streaming services where you get the adverts, and the adverts are current. You know, they kind of stop once you stream, you get them. And I've been seeing the difference between the adverts and between Biden and Trump. And Biden's giving 2 to 3 adverts for every one of Trump's. So he's getting out there. You know, he's as much more. What he does say, you know, he likes workers, not Wall Street. That upset me a little bit. But Trump comes out as, you know, made America safe and military, etc. But it's quite interesting to see, you know, adverts. I've never really been, seen them live like I'm seeing them now. And a lot of money's being spent, and it's they've got to be quick. You know, they can't linger on forever. They're 30 seconds, I think, maximum, or even less than that. But for the meantime, Trump's coming under a bit of pressure. I don't know whether it's going to continue, you know, for the next month or two. But I think a lot of the news coming out is not favorable, especially this Bolton going at him and, you know, over these remarks. And there's another, I think if you would have picked it up in the FT, they're saying in that same trip he went to Paris. This, you love this one.
Oh, about the hair.
No, he went into the embassy,
yes,
which is a historic embassy, because I think it was built in Paris in 1840 or something like that. You remember the French were very close to the Americans,
yes.
Lafayette and so on.
Yes.
And he went in there and he saw some figurines and a painting that he wanted for for the White House.
Oh, no.
And made them send it. Go read it.
No, please tell me. I'll read it as well. what happened? I love these stories.
Well, there was a painting which wasn't I think it was of Benjamin Franklin, but it wasn't the original. The original is in the National Gallery, I think, in Washington. This was a replica, a copy, you know. In other words, it's an original, but it's a copy of
the original.
Yes. Yeah. And so that was there. So it's got no value. You know, I don't think it has any value. It's just significant because of Benjamin Franklin's association with the French, you know, during that time. And the second one, where there were a whole lot of figurines, which I think were also replicas. I don't think they have significant value, but he liked them, you know, Greek sculptures and so on, and he sent them back to, you know, it was legal. It's just who he is. Oh, I like those. I want them in the White House. Oh, I like those, you know.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, that just he said, you can have them back in 6 years when I finish my second term.
He's never read a book in his life. That's the strangest thing. He's never read a book in his life.
No.
He's never taken an exam in his life.
He's written lots, though.
It's very funny. David Shapiro?
I don't know. Anyway.
I do. David, thanks so much for your time. As always, that's David Shapiro, who's the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.